I think talking like this brings up, in relation to what I was saying earlier about blame, it brings up the whole area of forgiveness. Forgiveness, which is an incredibly profound emotion. Well, it's more than an emotion, incredibly profound movement in consciousness. A very profound act. Anger, hate are often tied up with a desire for revenge. We can often feel justified in those feelings. They've done this thing, either to me or to somebody else. They must pay. They must pay. There's this sort of feeling that because they've done something, or we think they've done something, you know, to hurt us or whatever, that there's a kind of imbalance. You know, the scales of justice are kind of, there's a kind of imbalance. So there must be parity. You know, we must get back to that sense of equilibrium. Sometimes if we feel people have hurt us, we feel humiliated. And that the feeling of humiliation is a feeling of being off balance, that the kind of, our universe is sort of off balance. So we want parity. We want to restore the balance. And we think, well, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. They must pay. You know, you could sometimes, well, they just need a damn good telling off. That'll sort it out. Buddhism is very clear that healing won't come in that way. Restoring the balance won't come in that way through retaliation. Reintegration needs to happen with a shift in oneself, with forgiveness. And this forgiveness isn't just to do with a forgiveness for it to happen, a forgiveness of the person that it involves that. It's a kind of forgiveness of things. Forgiveness of life, in a way. It comes out of a reflection or an insight that this is what happens in this world. It isn't actually going to work for me the way I want it to. I can't control how it all goes. Even if I'm the loveliest person in the world, it doesn't mean that people are always going to be nice to me. I was at an event some months ago where I was, you know, I was really, you know, I was incredibly pleasant, you know, giving out talks and, you know, people really loving it. And somebody didn't like it and they came up and they really hammered me. They really laid into me and they said, you know, just really laid into me. And I was so open and it was... Fortunately, I was open and I was in a fairly positive state, so I didn't retaliate. You know, afterwards I thought, well, you can really be friendly. You can really make a lot of effort in that way, but some people, it won't touch them in that way. And in fact, it will do the opposite. So you can't control events. You can't make things all right just because you are in a positive state even. Even the Buddha was given a very, very hard time by some people. So this is the way life is. You can't control it. It is what it is. It's impermanent, insubstantial, it's changing. And the result of that is not to be cynical or passive. If you really see this, it leads to a profound and active shift in consciousness. You kind of forgive life. Forgiveness is related to... a particular stage, I think, of a bodhisattva, which is the patience that develops in relation to the egolessness, the insubstantial nature of all things. An enemy teaches you that you cannot get things your way. You can't control life. You can only transform yourself. Life is king. There's a lovely poem by Sangharakshita called Life is King, which is well worth reading. Talking about flowers wither when touched. Ice cracks beneath our feet. We try to live a life where we're trying to get the earned smile, the soft reward, as he calls it. But you can't in the end get it. Life just slips through your fingers. Life is king. As Shakespeare says, character says at the end of King Lear, after all the horrendous goings on in that play where, you know, the loveliest person, the loveliest people, in the end are destroyed by... you know, terrible hatred and ambition. One of the main characters says something like, we must endure our coming hither as going hence. Ripeness is all. Ripeness is all. There's a writer who goes into this, a writer on Keats named John Middleton Murray. not a very popular writer these days, generally given short shrift because D.H. Lawrence didn't like him. I don't think that's the whole thing, but he had some incredible insights into the poetic, the nature of the poetic consciousness, the nature of the imagination. And in his commentary on Keats's notion of negative capability, which Keats is really a description of the imagination, that you're able to open up to the changing nature of all things. You're not going to fix things. You yourself are not going to have a kind of determinate character, which isn't a kind of weakness. It means that you're able to identify with whatever is arising. But he relates this to forgiveness. So he says, for the moral quality, which is the equivalent of this imagination, for the moral quality, we can find a word to describe this. It is more than tolerance. It is forgiveness. But for this kind of forgiveness, a forgiveness which forgives not only men, but life itself, not only the pains which men inflict, but the pains which are knit up in the very nature of existence, we have no word. We have as yet scarcely even a sense of the quality itself. Let it be called, though the word cannot fail to be misunderstood, acceptance, capital A. So much in this. There's a whole series of talks, I think, in this. This sort of forgiveness of things, forgiveness of life. We hurt because we don't accept what life really is. And he has a kind of commentary on this, where he quotes Chekhov as describing this, one of his characters in one of Chekhov's plays. And all things are forgiven, and it would be strange not to forgive. So this is the sort of state we need to reach. All things are forgiven, because it would be strange not to. You know, when you see that you can't control life, you can't own life, you can't kind of mould it into the way you want it to be, then it would be really odd not to forgive. It would be very strange. You couldn't do it. You couldn't not forgive. And forgiveness isn't weakness either. I was given a book the other day on a Sufi book, a lovely old Turkish book on Sufism. And there's this card in it. It's a card of Rumi. On the back, the person who owned this book has written a Sanskrit proverb: forgiveness is the ornament of the brave. Forgiveness is the ornament of the brave. Something to reflect on and meditate on. This kind of quality of forgiveness doesn't come easily. It's easy to say. It's much harder to practice. And I'm very conscious myself that I'm speaking at this moment from aspiration rather than from achievement. Having said that, I have noticed sometimes, even a number of times, that the fourth stage, developing some metta, some friendliness in the fourth stage, does have an effect. There is a change, even a slight change, but that change is significant, highly significant. I am more sympathetic. I am more open. That's a beginning. That's a start. It's a small miracle, and small miracles can lead to very great miracles. Hatred can be changed into love. Thank you.